Hello, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Second Funniest Podcast. You can reach us at podcast@justincomedy.com, or you can call us at 408-228-4911. Don't forget to vote for us at Podcast Alley. There's a link at secondfunniestpodcast.com that you can just go to. You could vote once a month, so if you've already voted, please vote again.
Or twice every 2 months.
That's also true. I'm going to be at the River Center Comedy Club in San Antonio, Texas, January 13th through the 17th. I'm going to be at the Omaha Funny Bone, January 27th through 31st. I got a Southern California show, one night only, February 2nd in Los Alamitos, California. You can go to justincomedy.com for all the information on that.
February 2nd, I will not be at your show, Justin, because I will be playing Star Trek Online.
Whoa, that's when it comes out?
Yeah, that's a Tuesday night, so we're not doing podcasts that night, huh?
Yeah, it's on the calendar. You should look at that.
I should probably.
Also, our guest, Michael Loftus, he's got some dates. Definitely recommend seeing him if you get a chance live. He's at the Skyline Comedy Cafe, January 27th through 30th in Appleton, Wisconsin. He's at the Comedy Castle in Royal Oak, Michigan, February 4th through 6th. And at Laughs Unlimited in Sacramento, California, February 24th through 28th. Don't miss it, especially all you NorCal listeners out there. That's a great chance to go see him live. And I think that's it.
Enjoy. I'm also busy from February 3rd until about October 9th with Star Trek Online.
Enjoy the show.
Okay, bye.
I don't have to touch anything.
You touch those knobs.
Well, I turn on the mic.
But that's not automated. It's like semi-automated.
Evidently, it's not automated well enough.
Yeah,
it should be gone now. No, it's not. Here it comes. Ready? Watch this. Watch.
Wow, no hands.
Yeah,
look at that.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, well
done. Wow.
Isn't that great?
I'm a little creeped out.
Yeah, I don't know how you did that. How am I listening to this in the future?
I don't know.
You're blowing my mind.
This is the best. This is the best
ever. Just faded out and he didn't touch the board, man. There's a poltergeist here.
We're high production. That's what we do. We find freeware software that I can download and then put into my computer and
slap
then find
a fade on it.
Yeah, we also, this is how great we are, Michael. We could do applause.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, you got this back? Did you get the aliens?
Oh, that bit didn't go so good.
Yeah, exactly. Aww. Yeah. Was that what you were talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
We have all that stupid stuff in
what
there.
What else do we got?
Let's see. We have...
Any new ones?
May the Force be with you.
That's a listener of ours who says that. We have a drum roll. If we have anything big to announce, this is one of my personal favorites. We also have... And then...
Oh, the bit didn't go so good.
No, we have it's more of those than maybe we should.
We don't have many bits that was funny.
It's good that we brought you here, Mr. Loftus.
Yeah, you're really prepared for me to eat it. We have four different sound effects for you to, like, just eat it. We got one for you to do good.
That's if it
what
goes
will happen?
Well. Yeah, that's like, oh, holy crap. And I call that one the shocker so I can remember
the shocker.
What it is. That's another one. We have this when my wife interrupts the show. That's her.
But I was just going to tell you the cure for cancer.
Oh, sorry, honey. I don't want you talking. And I think that's all of them. Oh, we have...
I regret everything.
That's our good friend Kevin's here. It's his favorite little catchphrase.
I regret everything.
So, then we have Teresa's. Oh, no, that's not it. Where's hers? I forgot where I put that. It's been so long since I've played with these.
Michael, you don't listen
touch
to our
podcast. Touch the Muppet
Baby.
I have not listened to a podcast.
Good for you.
I've been on them.
Have you?
I have never. Yeah, did one in Houston, Texas recently. And it was, I think it's a very, very cool thing, man. Where can I listen to your... So, I want to go home. The wife's like,
bye.
You weren't doing a podcast. I'm like, no, I swear to God, I was doing a podcast with these guys. How do I find it? What do I do? I go onto the interweb.
Yes.
I know that much.
And you use the keypad.
I'm going to use... that's the one with the letters.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
And you dial in
so
the
So, I'm
going
to go to www.
Yeah, three of those, not four.
Dot. It's going to do the HTTP thing for me, right?
Oh, you got that far, yeah.
Okay.
And two colons.
I'm going to go one further. You could probably just put in the actual URL and even skip the www. Yeah.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to my interweb,
uh-huh.
And I'm typing in what?
Second funniest podcast.
Now, am I going to use the number?
It's a good question.
I'm going to say SE, like Second City.
Do we have the number registered as
we
well?
We don't have the URL for the number, no.
You should consider it.
Yeah, the number two.
Most of the people are finding us through iTunes.
Oh, okay.
Do you own
iTunes.com?
Yes,
I do. We should probably get that.
Second funniest podcast.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We used to
now,
be known...
I don't want to rag on the name because I'm a guest here.
No, go ahead.
What's the first funniest?
I go with my personal favorite podcast is Never Not Funny. That's what I say.
Okay.
You know? And we came up with the name, and then for whatever reason, when we added the word funny to our title, we got super serious. Now we've had good fun so far in the new year.
You're rocking it.
It would be more fun, but we would get heavy.
Boom.
Yeah. I think the funniest podcast is this little podcast out in Texas that I've heard once. That I think you were on it, actually.
Really?
No, I don't know.
Oh.
No, but that's really strange. I worked with this kid who says he's on this podcast, and they've got a ton of listeners, and he had listeners coming out to the show.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't remember, but that's awesome, man.
It's a great thing. I love it.
Do you read blogs?
Not so much.
Yeah. But you have read a blog.
I have read a blog, and I have blogged before.
Ooh, yeah.
But the thing is, it's like, why do you want to do this?
I mean, seriously,
my everyday, I got up, I was tired, who gives a rat's fresh, smooth fart?
Yeah.
We can curse, right?
Yeah.
That's good. I didn't know.
But nothing worse than that.
Okay.
You can only say fart?
That's the most explicit.
Crazy. I just got in big trouble in Dayton, Ohio.
You said a curse word on the radio?
I said bitch. On Good Morning Dayton. I got this bit where I got kids now.
I thought you were going to say bitch.
I said bitch and I said whore. And then I killed a person. No. It was New Year's Day, and I'm the poor son of a bitch that has to go do Good Morning Dayton. So I do it, and they're like, so do you have any New Year's resolutions? And I'm like, thanks for the setup. Like, as a matter of fact, I do. I'm going to try to quit cussing because I got little kids, and I don't want to drop my kids off at preschool and have me go, I don't want to finger paint, bitch. Tell the whore, dad. She won't listen to me. That's the joke. And now would be the wham, wham, wham. That would be that one. Go ahead, lock and load.
Why don't you just like read the bit?
I'm making a story because we're talking.
So
I do the bit and I sell it. And the cameraman's laughing. In the real one, I sell it. So the cameraman's laughing. The weather guy's losing it. Everybody's laughing. And they're like, oh, like I just did something really bad. So then. The next day, the manager of the comedy club's like, well, I kind of think we're done with Good Morning Dayton. And I'm like, really? And it was crazy. You could hear people laughing in the control booth. I mean, I did very well.
Right.
I did very well. And I'm like, are you crazy? What are you talking about? He's like, no, the woman said, nice language. Good to know you. And so they're like, not going to have comedians on the show anymore. And I'm like, because of me? Are you kidding? So I wrote a letter of apology.
Oh, good.
Trying to make nice. I'm taking the high road.
That's way to go.
In 2010. I don't want to ruin it. I don't want to be the guy that ruins it for other comedians.
Right.
Now, I probably just saved a bunch of dudes. I'm like, who wants to get up
exactly.
and Good Morning Dayton? Really?
Because it's not morning radio, in my opinion, is one thing, but the morning television news show
is so awkward.
It's so awkward.
Really, why? Why are they different?
There's a reason, and I'm not pooping on them. I'm just saying there's a reason.
Can't swear, just
I'm,
so you know.
I'm just saying there's a reason you're in Dayton.
Yeah.
There's a reason you're in. I mean, I did Cleveland and the girl was great. You know, you're like, okay, she's going places. She's going places. But the dude, not so much.
Mm.
You know, he's gay, but he's trying to act like he's not. So he's being like too macho, but he still has the, you know. I was down at the north side of Cleveland. They got some fine looking tail down there.
I was banging bitches and horses.
Exactly. They're all over me. Good morning, Cleveland. My wiener's huge when I see a naked lady. That girl's tight. She makes my pants hurt. But usually they're not very good. The banter isn't good. They're too worried about stuff and they're so used to
like the fake smarmy like attitude that they if you try and have a real conversation with them, they can't lose the plastic like eyebrows
they're on
up.
Camera.
Right.
Whereas
they cannot be in the
moment.
They have to be like, and here's the singers from the third grade, you know, choir. And then they're done and they can lose it. And then they can bring it back. Well, that was a good song. Now let's meet the people who weave the baskets.
Yeah.
You know? But just to be in that interview thing, that's a different.
And you're like, am I alone?
I usually tag along because when I feature, I don't really get on the air, you know, but I tag along so I can watch the headliners do their thing and stuff like that. And So this one time they were covering, they were doing like a fixing of the plumbing or something at the local stadium or something like that. I think this is actually in Toledo, Ohio.
Right.
And so then we were, so that's what they were cutting to. And like while they're doing all these lame like toilet one night liners and they're like,
everybody's hilarious.
And then the comedian gets on there and it was so funny to see the different laugh because there was a laugh with a twinge of fear.
Oh no.
Because they, at one point.
Which is the best laugh?
Yeah. At one point he got up and moved around and they were like, oh, what do we do? What do we do? We have chairs for a reason.
Stay on the couch. The weatherman in Dayton was like, "You are hysterical. You are so very funny. If you want to mess with me when I'm doing the weather, feel free. Feel free." And I'm like, "Well, now I can't because you want it.
What does
you
that
know?
Mean if you want to mess with me?
Like go up there and hey, here comes a cold front. Hey, well, I'm playing along. I don't do that. It's not messing with you if I've been invited. I have to adjust this.
Does it feel better?
Tighten that up. Well,
or we
awesome.
Can put the board on the tip of it if you're
closer
good. To you.
I was falling over. Now I'm good. No, I'm not. Yeah, fine. Perfect.
Love it.
That was close.
Right?
Almost jinx.
Almost lost the whole thing.
So you're listening to the second funniest podcast.
Yes, yeah, with your host, Justin Warsham.
Kevin Miller.
Myself, Kevin Miller.
And our wonderful guest, which we didn't give an intro to up front. Michael,
no, it's fine.
In the description.
Do
it Michael
now.
Loftus is here.
I'm ghost.
Where?
Right here next to you, Kevin.
That's amazing.
Michael Loftus, you've probably seen him on Comedy Central. Had an hour special there.
Yeah.
You've changed. It's great. You know, I'm going to blow some sunshine up your ass, but not in a sincere way. Not in that fake way that phrase is meant as. No, in a sincere way. I meant, he did it.
He said it right.
Yeah, okay good.
It was close.
Yeah.
It was touch and go. For like, are you shitting me? Fuck you guys.
Well, and that was Michael.
Where did I park? How do I get out of here?
Lock the doors.
Whenever I've talked about you or anything, being on the road or whatever, even people that I've talked to after shows and stuff, because they always ask you, what other comedians do you like and stuff like that? And
Other
comics will ask you, especially like the newer ones, but people that you're taught, like if they want to come by, like, oh, like, what other comics do you like? Like, who do you like as a comedian?
Who makes you laugh?
Exactly, yeah. Mm. So then it's cool because I'll mention your name, and then people go, I just did an hour special on Comedy Central, and they're like, oh, you've changed. They do like you doing your wife's voice.
You've changed. And they do an impression of me doing an impression of her.
Exactly, yeah.
That's great.
And I was like, that's awesome. I remember hearing it going, I wonder if when he did that, if he knew that it would kind of turn into a little bit of a catchphrase. Like,
oh, God, please no. Please no. Wouldn't that be horrible? All of a sudden, I'm 60. You've changed. It's sad.
Remember that
it was
guy?
Funny when he was 42.
Remember the "You've Changed" guy?
Yeah.
He was on Hollywood Squares for a week.
Other comedians, other comedians start making fun of him. Everything changes, Michael. Like life goes on. Right?
Yeah.
It's not that big a deal. All right. It's not even a punchline. It doesn't even make sense.
That guy's funny.
Boy. Well, that's cool though. Yeah.
And I know that this is, I guess, kind of is a natural, now I've made it unnatural segue, but I did want to ask.
Thanks for pointing it out.
Thank you. What was the process of that, like, of making a special for Comedy Central, and or do you, if you want to go into it, I don't know.
Sure,
if
why not?
For you, but.
Are there puppets involved?
No, there weren't, but boy, oh boy, I wish there were.
Yeah.
See the paychecks. I'm not kidding you.
Are you making a Jeff Dunham reference?
Yeah. Bam! And I tell you what, and I will sing on this podcast, on this very podcast, I will do nothing but sing that dude's praises.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. When I was coming up, I was an MC, a feature act. I heard about the guy. Mm. He was already a headliner when I started. I've been doing this for like 15 years, dude. And he was already a headliner, already closing. Mm. And then this is probably 8 years ago, I get invited to work with him, you know, and because he was looking for a new writer at the time. He's very smart. You know, he has writers, guys that help him, you know, and he was collecting people's emails. This is a kajillion years ago. Collecting. And I'm like, what a waste of time. What an absolute, what a poor, that guy could, oh. And man,
guess
oh man.
Guess who's going nowhere.
Seriously. And we worked at the Laugh Stop in Houston, and he sold out every show with his crowd.
Yeah.
It was like Don Learned. I don't know if you ever worked the Laugh Stop. Didn't put out any passes. Didn't do just like Jeff brings his own crowd. You know, and it was crazy. And so after a while, you know, enough people, the internet happens, YouTube happens, and America gets turned on to this guy who's been working his tail off, collecting emails, and you know, keeping this fan base going. I'm so glad the guy's successful.
That's awesome.
I really, yeah.
For anybody who lives under a rock, they're talking about Jeff Dunham, the guy who was Walter and Jose Jalapeno on a Stick and Peanut. And,
yeah.
You know, it's funny.
He was on 30 Rock last season.
Oh, he was?
Yeah. This season. It was, just a few weeks ago.
It's a very, very, very small world. A friend of mine used to be roommates with a guy who's now a producer of 30 Rock.
Oh, really?
John Rigi, a very funny guy, used to do stand-up, was the head writer on the Larry Sanders Show.
Oh, wow.
And so it's like 2 degrees of separation between, you know, 30 Rock and me and Dunham. And so it was very cool, man, to see Jeff. He didn't have to do that. And it was a little risky because he was kind of the butt of the joke
in that
episode. So, hey, kudos for him.
Well, he did.
Man.
I've seen him do...
But it's an old buddy of his. Like, I'll help you out. Yeah, I'll do it for you, man. Yeah.
He did the same thing on Blue Collar TV. This is well before he blew up, but he was kind of associated... I've heard through the grapevine that he was associated with Jeff and all those guys. They knew him from coming up together. So they did this thing where he was like a ventriloquist and he played the role of a horrible comedian in a sketch that they did or whatever.
That's right. Yeah.
But it was I work with Heath Heitch on the road and I just did Atlanta Punchline with him and he has a character, Dale, that he comes out and does this redneck character and he plays Sweet Home Alabama when he walks out on stage. So he came out on stage and it was interesting to see. I've been working with him now for, I think, a year and a half, 2 years. And then out of nowhere, we go to the Atlanta Punchline. And then he comes out with that. And then as soon as he smiles and he shows only he's only got one tooth, everybody starts going, "Oh, Bubba J! Bubba J!" Which is like Jeff Dunham's redneck character, like puppet.
That's great.
And it's in a way, not that they're saying, "Oh, he's stealing." It's not that.
He's doing his tribute.
Exactly. Yeah. They're like, "Oh, it's Bubba J." It's the same thing as like what I would imagine Jeff Foxworthy did for the word redneck, and you know it's Bubba J is the new thing for, you know, toothless redneck. You call them Bubba J now. It was weird to watch that, and it wasn't just a guy, like it was everybody, and I'm surprised it didn't throw. I never talked to Heath. I gotta ask him about it. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. So making an hour special for Comedy Central and
Sans Puppets.
Yeah, so what I tried to do was to tie it all together. I'm a big fan of like rock albums. I was so happy, like when Green Day did an album, you know, like listen to all these songs back to back. There's a reason we recorded them in this order, you know, and it was American Idiot. It was like, wow, that's just fan. Nobody does it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why music is shit. You know, you get two good songs and then the rest of it's crap. So why not just download the ones you want anyway? And they wonder, why aren't we selling CDs anymore? Because you're selling shit.
Right. Concept albums.
Yeah. So I thought I would like to, you know, I'm just going to try to be ambitious. And I've got all this relationship material, you know, I've got at least an hour of, you know, of solid relationship stuff, you know, me and my wife, and just about, you know, that evolution of here's who you're with when you're dating, here's who you're with when you're married, and then here's who you're with when you have kids with that person. So it just shows that whole, you know, evolution. Maybe in hindsight, you know, I could have done it better. I don't know, but it was great, and it was fun to put together. You know, the hour. It was fun to put together the jokes. I'm going to do this here and do that there and then have this theme that runs through it. So that was cool, you know. And if, you know, when I do another Comedy Central special or if I do an HBO special, you know, it'll be extremely different, you know. I can't believe all the guys that are doing topical stuff now.
Yeah, isn't that weird? Like,
And I can't believe they're buying it. Why would you? If I'm Comedy Central, if I'm HBO, and I'm hiring somebody to do a 1 hour special, I'm going to be like immediately, nothing about politics.
Like, especially a network like a Comedy Central that takes a 30, like every year they have that stand up sit down, I think, or whatever it is, or the showdown or whatever, where everybody's hour or 30 minute specials, people vote. to see for who's going to get played for this like week. It's like at the end of January. So it's like for the new year, they have the same. So it's like you could be watching, you know, a 4-year-old half 30-minute, you know, Comedy Central Presents, and they could be talking about stuff that was going on then, you know, like
you got Dana Carvey talking about H. Ross Perot.
Exactly.
Come on, I'm going to put it in your name. Who's he talking about, man?
What's a Perot?
Oh, it's one of those Pittsburgh sandwiches.
He talks funny.
Bubba J. It's Bubba J.
Crazy.
It's an early Bubba J.
He's a millionaire.
So if I don't know if this is getting too specific or at all, but it, like, how does that work? Is it a situation where you're like, you know what, I want to do an hour special. Let's pitch it to Comedy Central. Was it a thing where they came to you and they said,
they came to me.
That's great. That's awesome.
Nuts.
Cool.
It's nuts. I was up to do. I was always they would always offer like a half hour special. You want to do a half hour special? Sure. Well, show us the material. Okay, show them the material. You're on the list. You're on the list. And then and then at the last minute they go, you know what? We've got to make sure that there's balance, and I understand that.
Sure.
I was a writer on a TV show for a while. I understand. You just have to, you can't just be all one thing. You have to serve a bigger audience. So I'm like, okay, I didn't make it. Okay, whatever, fine. Yeah. And then it got to the point where 2 years in a row that happened to me. And I'm like, all right, well, you know, whatever. Maybe I'm not their cup of tea. I'm just gonna stop sending, you know, material in, and I'll do my own thing. And then I get a call from my manager one afternoon. Just, how would you like to do an hour special on comedy? Are you kidding me? No, they called and blah, 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 blah.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was fantastic. It was fantastic.
So production-wise, is it all one taping? You just go through
one
evening?
Yeah, I did all. I could have gone back and done. I could have picked up stuff.
That would have
been
night. Great.
Yeah. In hindsight, I wish I could have done a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would have been the way to go. I would like let's tape three shows, you know, and then just take the bits. My first CD that I did, that's what I did. I did the same set.
Right.
I did it all weekend. I had four really solid shows, but there's subtle differences, you know, a little bit more laughter here. You played around with something differently here. Yeah. So you could compare and contrast and go, yeah, that's the best bit. And it goes really well behind that, you know, and so you can kind of, you know, manipulate it.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool. Now, was it a situation where they're doing like multiple hour specials in that weekend, or was it a thing where it's
this is your night?
And
they did, the night before me, Bert Kreischer, taped a 1 hour special, and what's the guy's name? Tom Wilson taped an hour.
Oh wow.
I don't know if they've aired his
yet. They haven't.
And then John Heffron, my buddy John Heffron, not Nora Ephron. John Ephron, the guy who won
Last Comic Standing two or something.
Yeah, he taped his right after mine
in one night, or they just did that week.
I did the early show. He did the late show.
Wow.
Yeah, they got two separate audiences.
Oh, they did.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, too, real quick, that Tom Wilson is he was Biff in Back to the Future.
Yeah.
People may not know his name, and if you don't know
Biff from Back to the Future, you probably know him from his YouTube smash hit.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't ask me what Michael J. Fox is like. That's so funny.
It's funny. I saw him at Adam Carolla when he first had the terrestrial radio show. He had like a comedy night where it was him, David Alan Greer, David Tell, and I recognized him instantly when he came on stage. I didn't remember his name or whatever.
Right.
And easily had the set of the night. Easily. Mm. And it was just fun. It was like he came out and he was playing his guitar.
Yeah.
And he did this fun like game of walking up to the mic and like doing like a crescendo, like, here comes the song. And then he would pretend to choke. And then he'd back away and like kind of like half-ass apologize, but he never said anything.
Insanely funny, insanely clean, a great guy. He's a phenomenal artist.
Yeah,
that's cool.
And he paints literally. Yeah. Like he does
a bit of comedy art.
No, he does pop art. He's like so insanely talented.
Yeah.
Wow. Does he do stuff with his tuba still?
Yes.
Does he? Really?
Yes, he still does the tuba bit.
Everything.
Whatever you can imagine.
Really?
Yeah.
Does he walk a dog on stage?
Where he was in marching band and they did a marching band competition.
That was on the Carson show.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Like the funniest.
Oh, I thought you were doing a bit about his bit.
Did you ever see that bit?
No.
He talks about how he played the tuba and in the high school marching band, okay?
Uh-huh.
And he's like, we were good. We were real good, you know? And he's got the tuba, and he shows how they would march and their little moves, and then they did a marching band competition. So they perform, they do their thing, and he's the tuba, but boom, boom. And, you know, and he bows down and does the thing, and, you know, he gets the plight. Then, from, like,
Jefferson High School. You know, it's like this all black school. You could hear them in the distance. Boom, chick, boom, boom, chick, chick, boom. This real funky beat. Yeah, yeah. They knew they had lost. They had to stand there and watch the whole thing. Just watch their dreams get crushed. It was great.
That's great. Well, and not to keep talking about Tom Wilson, but to bring it back to you, what honestly made me contact you and try and see if you would be willing to come on the podcast is my wife and I listened to You've Changed the CD, which I think is slightly different from the special they aired on Comedy Central. Or am I
right.
wrong?
Right. Well, you've got the whole thing on Amazon now. Yeah. That's for sale. Amazon.com. Okay. That's on the interweb.
Yeah,
right?
That's also, yeah.
Amazon.com.
Amazon.
Amazon.com. Michael Loftus, You've Changed. Yeah, that's the whole hour and a half, complete, unedited. Because it's wild, you know? I mean, Comedy Central, I think when all is said and done, they air 44 minutes of material.
Yeah.
And you taped a full hour of that?
I did an hour and a half.
Wow.
I threw
so
some
half
other,
of the comedy is missing.
Half of the comedy, at least half of the comedy. Yeah. But there's a chain of bookstores in the Midwest, Hastings. It's like Borders. They have coffee shops, books, and videos. And I did a show for them. They're like, we can't wait till your DVD comes out. We want to have this thing. We want to put it in our stores, you know, and Best Buy. We want to put this in our stores and Blockbuster to be able to rent it. So it has to be well over an hour. I think that the bare minimum they'll take to sell it as a DVD is like an hour 10.
Oh, really?
Like, you know, yeah, I've got enough material. I just like, okay, let's put some other stuff in here, some fun stuff.
So fill it up for the DVD.
It's an hour and a half.
Afterwards.
It's great. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I haven't seen the DVD. I'll check that out. But the audio album that we listened to, literally, we were driving up to my parents' cabin through the woods. And at one point, I'm not doing this again to blow sunshine. We had to stop. I had to pull over the car.
What was the bit?
I can't remember off the top of my head. Honestly, I can't remember off the.
Well, let's play the whole album to you. Remember.
Because
it'd be fun to do on the show. Do the director's cut. Yeah. What are you thinking about? Well, this next bit is.
Well, here's the thing.
Alternate endings.
I've listened to albums that I've laughed to the point where I've cried, but I've never listened to an album where I was laughing hard from beginning to end. And I think it has to do because it struck a chord with both my wife and I. I think it's because it's toward the end where you talk about your son in the grocery store.
Is a true story.
Yeah.
That is a true story. When
it was that, and then
old.
There was another time that that I had to slow down was the earthquake and in your house. I think you talk about that.
Earthquake, being naked in an earthquake.
So if that's not enough of a
true
teaser.
True story, being naked in an earthquake and no time to dress, just panic, man. Light flashing before your eyes. And then, my kid, my youngest, when he was one, loved fire trucks. And when he saw a fire truck, he would lose his mind and start screaming, "Fire truck!" But not being, you know, as I say in the joke, that everything's hooked up all the way when they're one. So what comes out is, "Oh, fuck! Oh, fuck!" But literally, he was saying fire truck. So that is all. That is the setup and the punchline.
One of my favorite parts of that bit is that he goes, "I believe in his heart that he was saying fire truck. I really, truly believe that in his soul he was saying fire truck, but what came out was off fire."
Yeah. It's great.
And we had a moment similar, because what gets you into that is you talk about the idea, get this album. I feel like we're referring to it, and maybe not everybody's heard it. It's worth it. It's worth grabbing it on iTunes. It's $10 bucks there.
Yeah, iTunes, Amazon. It's nuts.
It's awesome. Like, I guarantee you, like, especially because most of the people who listen, this is actually how I first met you, which is kind of a funny story, is that Steve Grove is a guy who books, used to own the Laughs Unlimited Comedy Club, and I auditioned for him, started featuring. He did these like park shows. And he called me and said, "Hey, I want you to do a couple of these park shows. Have you done them for me?" I was like,
"Comedy Under the Stars."
Yeah. So we go out there. We meet at this park. And that's when I meet Michael. It's me, Michael, and this. I can't even remember the guy who was hosting or whatever. So we go out there. We talk a little bit, little before the show. I go out. I do my 30 minutes. And I walk off stage. And Michael says, he goes, "Great job." He goes, "We have some similar premises," or whatever, right? Mm. So then I walk off and I'm like, "Oh, no." Like, I'm thinking, I hope I didn't do anything wrong. La-di-da-di-da.
Yeah.
I go out and I watch his set. And so anything that is remotely close to anything, it was weird. It was like, watch this. This would be better if we would have talked about this before you got here. Because I feel a little like I'm amping it up or whatever. But honestly, like, and this is what I tell people, is that anything that was remotely similar, it's like, it's 10,000 times funnier than it's like, that's the way it should have been done. Like, that's the idea.
Do you now just do his material?
If I can. I'm not in Ohio. I respect
it's,
him.
It's too funny, but that feeling, and that's an awesome compliment.
Yeah.
I was on this tour for the past 2 years, and we're waiting to see if it's going to get picked up again. The Jameson Irish Whiskey. Yes. Jameson Irish Whiskey Tour.
It's like Steve Byrne is on that.
It's Steve Byrne, myself, Billy Gardell, Bert Kreischer, Danny Bevins. Just insane.
Yeah.
And they've got six of us under contract. We go out with four. Nick Griffin.
Yeah.
Good Lord in heaven, Nick Griffin. Just, and it's, we'd have this discussion backstage. We'd be sitting back. Doesn't it drive you crazy when you see a guy do the joke?
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, no, when you've had this premise going around in your head, you see a guy.
Yes.
Not only does he have the premise, but he does the joke with an economy of words and beautiful phrasing where you're just like, well, screw it. Well, I can just throw away that notebook right now. That's done. That's beautiful. That's as good as it's going
to
get.
The biggest one that I had was that I had this idea. We used to have we still have the cat, but we had her fixed. But we had our cat. Remember when she would go into heat?
Yeah.
And I had this idea of like, I go, there's got to be something there because other people can definitely relate to this. So I was like, it's funny that women never go into heat, you know, and I do this act out of a woman like presenting and stuff like that. And it got a pretty good response. I was fairly proud of it. But he has this great joke about how like the cat like incessantly just round, round, round. And then he ties it in. Like, wouldn't it be great if you could go to a bar and just open the door and go round and just advertise like I'm in, anybody else in? And then some chick from the back room is like, meow. Okay, great. And then you go out to behind a dumpster or whatever it is. Like,
I've lately been playing. It's like a bit that I should have like stopped doing a million years ago.
It's hilarious.
But now it's like the longer I do it.
Yeah.
You've got this. Okay. It's funny when you start.
Yep.
Then you keep doing it and it's not as funny.
Yeah.
But if you keep doing it, it gets funny funnier. A second time.
Right.
So now it's like, it's retarded. how long that goes.
30% of your...
As soon as they drop the checks in the club. That's my closing 10. He's not even talking!
It's hilarious!
I want to buy the DVD!
Justin, didn't you have the same problem where you're doing all that bit about brain damage and children for the longest time? And then you saw Bill Cosby, and you're like, oh.
I had something similar to that where
Jell-O pudding and
I grew Kodak up
film.
When I was a kid, I watched Bill Cosby as himself all the time. Like,
yeah.
So that was the thing that when I was in first grade, I wanted to be a stand-up because of that. So when I grew up and then I started doing stand-up and was writing it, I started talking about my dad. And there was my dad used to tell me, he said, what is it? How did he put it? Anyway, he said, he goes, I brought something to the effect of, I brought you into this world and I'll take you out or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or no, that's what it was. He didn't say that part. He said, I'll make another one that looks just like you. So when I would talk about this in my act, like I started writing this chunk and it was coming together and everything. And then one day I was on a plane and I copied Bill Cosby as himself onto my iPod and I watched it. And then he talks about his dad and then he has this little line in there where he says, I'll make another one that looks just like you. And I was quoting my dad. My dad was quoting Bill Cosby. Because I asked my dad, I'm like, where did you hear that? He goes, Bill Cosby. He says it on that thing. And I was like,
that's great.
Oh, I got to be careful.
I made that up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I had to.
Look at this.
Yeah. The lady's back.
Oh, look at that.
Why, thank you, m'lady. Well, easy. Don't present too much. The other thing
best
I wanted to.
Best podcast ever.
Right? No more second. I want to ask you too is that I heard this rumor, and then you could tell me this is what I heard. So I want to tell if this is correct or not. Was that you were performing once at the Ice House, and George Lopez saw you there, thought you were funny, came up to you afterwards and says, "Hey, I'm in the middle of working on this show that may or may not be. If it works out, I'd love to have you ride on the show." And the way the story was told to me was that you were like, "Yeah, sure, that'd be great." But then in your head, you were like, yeah, like that's ever going to happen. And then a while, time passes and then you get a phone call from George Lopez saying, hey, do you want to write for my show? Is that how you got the gig?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I had been coerced into doing Star Search.
Oh, wow.
I get a call. Hey, do you want to be on Star Search? No, thank you.
Yeah.
I don't believe in comedy contests. Mm-hmm. I believe that comedy is like music. Some people like jazz. Some people like hip hop. Some people like, you know, classical, whatever. So you cannot judge comedy. You can't put two comics side by side, whatever. So I turned them down. They offered to me again. Do you want to do Star Search? No, thank you. They go, do you have a fax machine? Yes, I sure do. All right. And so they fax over the ratings. And this is the new Star Search, Arsenio Hall, blah,
yeah.
blah, blah.
Oh, yeah.
They're pulling in like a 12.9, a 14 share. I'm like, wow. And then they call back, you don't want 14 million people to know who you are. And I'm like, okay.
I love that they had to fax it to you, that they couldn't just tell you over the phone. That they had.
It was
like,
cool.
It was cool. It's a Hollywood aid. Move.
It is a very Hollywood move. Yeah. And this shit happens for real.
Yeah. Although I wish I could remember off the top of my head how long ago this would have been, because it's kind of funny if there was emails, like they could have emailed it to you.
That was like early 90s.
Star Search? I don't know. It was the year the George Lopez show premiered. Because I go out to the Ice House to put together a set, you know, for Star Search. And I put together this little 5-minute set, and I'm like, ba boom, gets a big laugh. I'm like, well, that's what I'll use for the taping. And I get off stage and I go back in the green room and I'm getting my jacket and my notebook, and there's this, you know, Mexican dude, Latino guy, going through his notebook. And it's obvious. Oh, I'm like, okay, I've seen his face in headshots in the club. And so it's George Lopez. And I had heard that he was maybe going to get a show. I knew that he had just been fired from his radio show. So I said, hey, man, sorry about the radio show, but hey, good luck with TV. And he just goes, dude, you're one of the funniest guys I've ever seen at this club. And I want funny guys to write on my show. Give me your phone number. So like I gave him.
Did he pull a gun on you right there? Or?
No, butterfly.
Yes, because that's what all Mexicans do.
Good, you picked up on that.
So I
thought it would have been a butterfly knife. That's right, what I thought. Yeah. Not a gun.
I gave him my phone number, and then like nothing happens. And like 2 months later, I get a call at my house. My wife answers. She's like, hold on a second. She's like, Mohawk Productions. Do you know Mohawk Productions? I'm like, no, I've never heard of Mohawk Productions. She's like, he's never heard of you.
Your wife's on the phone.
Yeah, with Mohawk Productions. They did the Drew Carey show, the Norm Macdonald show.
Oh, man.
And they're like, we're doing the George Lopez show. And she's like, Lopez? Do you know what George Lopez? I'm like, holy crap. Jesus.
And they asked if you had a fax machine.
Yeah. And it had just broken. The Star Search people broke it.
Their 14 share.
So, no, they asked for a spec script. They wanted to know if I was even interested in a writing job. And so I got a job doing punch-up. I would come in one day a week, and I thought, wow, this is so cool. I'm the punch-up guy.
Yeah, I'm the
punch-up guy. And it turns out I would come in on Thursdays, but George had done this thing to like four other guys. Like, you're really funny. So he gave like five comedians, myself included, an opportunity to have this job.
Oh, wow.
And I find out from one of the staff writers, like towards the end of the first season, like, yeah, there's another guy. And I'm like, what? And yeah.
There's five more of you.
There's a guy that comes in on Monday. There's two dudes that come in on Tuesday. I'm like,
We have a two-for-two staff.
Yeah.
So you're punching up what they've been punching up
all
week.
Right,
but you're the closer, so that's not
bad.
Yeah,
I was there on show night, which was just terrifying.
What is that like? Like creating a week?
Terrifying.
Yeah.
Terrifying. I don't know if I said this correctly. Really scary.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
The show's going on. You know, let's say George walks in and he sees his wife. How was work, honey? And then George says XYZ.
Yeah.
And it gets an okay laugh. Well, Bruce Helford, the guy who ran the show, created the show with George and this other great, great, funny dude, Robert Borden. They stop. They stop the tape, and then Bruce Helford would look to the other writers. And then simultaneously, what's happening is, at the time, the audience warm-up guy was a DJ, and then he had a buddy who would interview people in the crowd, and they would do a dance contest. So they'd stop the tape, the writers would huddle up, and all of a sudden, bam, 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 no shit. And people are dancing, and it's loud, it's like a friggin' disco, and it's like this group of people who work with each other every day. and you're the I'm Kai coming on Thursday, and you're kind of listening.
You're
and,
like the relief pitcher, like you're the guy who just.
But if you don't pitch a joke, you're gonna get fired. Yeah. Why are they gonna pay you to not be funny? Yeah. And so I was luckily I would say something. What'd he say? Oh, he said da da da. And Helford's like, yeah, that'll be great. It goes in. Then you're like, wow, my joke's going in. Gets a big laugh, and you're like, yeah. You know? And so then anyway, long story short, it was just terrifying. Whenever they would stop, you'd want them to stop the tape, so you'd have an opportunity. But then it's just madness because everybody's it's like being it's like, on the floor of the stock exchange. Right. Everybody's well, at least, you know shouting.
At least it's not a situation because what like when you started, I thought it was gonna. I mean, I'm sure it still is in some way, shape, or form. But I thought what was gonna happen is they stop the tape. That's not working. The writers come to you and like and they just come. Okay, what have you got for this? Because we put together
that
this.
Would be so rude,
right? Wouldn't that be like
so rude?
Like, I would piss myself if that happened. Yeah. So you're just there.
There was just one day. This is a true story. This is so awesome. I don't know if she listens to your podcast.
No, she doesn't. But I don't even know who you're talking
at
about.
At this point, it's the second season, and the head writer, Robert Borden, goes, would you want to come in 2 days a week and kind of work more on story ideas? And I said, yeah, sure. I'd love to try it. So now I'm working on the Lopez show 2 days a week. I can still go out and do stand-up. Yeah. It's the best. I don't think those jobs are even around anymore. Mm. There's a little naked baby went right over that other way. He's making a break for it, Mom.
Near the door.
So with, and I guess this happens on a lot of different sitcoms and whenever there's group writers, there's people that I would see on the staff. I'm like, I don't know. They must do some really funny shit on the days I'm not here because I've never seen this person do anything funny, say anything funny, da da da. So one day we're sitting around and this this guy goes, we're stuck for a joke. We're just stuck. And we should probably just move on and go to a whole new area for a joke. But we can't get it. And this dude looks at me and goes, come on, Loftus. You're the punch-up guy. Give us the joke.
Oh, please tell me that's how he talks. Start.
No, he didn't.
Oh, man.
I'm trying to make this whole thing anonymous. he goes, come on, you're the punch-up guy. Start. And I'm like, I'll start when you start.
Oh.
And the place was like, oh, snap. And I'm like, oh, now there's going to be a, yo mama's so fat. Yeah. And then there's knives drawn. And
oh, he's Mexican.
Lopez comes in with a gun.
Yeah. Also Mexican.
But it was a great experience, man. And it was, yeah.
So you didn't come up with a joke in that moment?
No, I didn't.
Oh, man.
My joke was making fun of him for not being able to come up with one joke. Oddly enough, the next season, they invited me. They goes, would you? They were like apologetic about it. They're like, would you even want to stop doing road work and do this full time? Mm. And I'm like, yeah, sure. I'd love to. Okay. So next year I came back. I had a full-time job. That guy was gone.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Poor guy.
Yeah, poor guy.
Home wrecker. My wife loves to bring food while we do an audio recording.
That's great. Cookies. I can't hear you chew, honey.
They're soft cookies. This
Orson
week.
Welles knew it when he did War of the Worlds. The whole time he was eating popcorn.
That's true. At least these are soft cookies.
Yeah.
What did she give us that one time? Chips.
Yeah. She
tacos?
Had chips.
She had
and,
full tacos one night.
One. Oh, what was that one? It wasn't M&M's. It was something that it was just obnoxious.
Oh, the Cadbury eggs.
Skittles.
The chocolate eggs.
The chocolate. Yeah. They had hard candy.
Yeah. So
like,
you're like
malt ball type. Yeah. It was just nothing but crunching and crunching and crunching.
So those cookies aren't as soft as they look. That looked like it took you some work
good,
to crack
though.
Those open.
They're delicious.
I was being careful to keep all the chocolatey goodness inside.
What do those taste like so our listeners can know?
Like an angel's ass. Teased with a feather.
Damn, I want a cookie now.
I know, right? This guy, he knows what he's doing. He doesn't mess around.
And it was a great show. And yes, it's true. That's how I love the fact that it is true.
Yeah,
that's the kind of thing where, you know, it's not like I was discovered in a way. And George has been phenomenal on the DVD. He's got I called him up like I'm doing a 1 hour special for Comedy Central. And the first thing out of his mouth is, man, that's awesome. Good for you.
Yeah.
I'm like, I hate to be that guy, but if I could just get a quote from you that somebody could put on the box. And he's like, let me get back to you. And he got really short, and I'm like, ah, crap.
Yeah.
Probably just ruined a good relationship.
Burned that bridge, oops.
So, like, 2 days go by, and I'm like, okay, I burned the bridge.
Right.
And then the next day, I get an email. He's like, hey, sorry, it took me so long. I was doing X, Y, and Z, but here's what I want to say. And he sends it. It's like this beautiful, He's like, Chris Rock makes me laugh. Richard Pryor makes me laugh. Michael Loftus makes me laugh. And wow. I'm just like, holy Christ.
Wow, that's
yeah,
great.
That's great. Yeah. He wanted to spend time to think of something
exactly.
solid. Wow, that's great.
Cool. Not he's really funny.
Yeah. Fire the
George
DVD.
Lopez.
It's funny for a white guy.
Two thumbs up for Michael Loftus, says yeah. George Lopez.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he wrote on the George Lopez show, says George Lopez.
I think he wrote on our show.
Yeah. I remember I used to see this guy on the lot.
He might have parked cars. I think he's funny.
He makes a damn fine cup of coffee, this guy.
Wrong guy.
I think that's the guy who made the girl that played my wife feel uncomfortable. I wanted her so bad. It was just sick.
Yeah.
It was disgusting.
She was beautiful.
I swear to God. And in the
not that she's not anymore.
In the writer's room, right. I would be like, and George's wife is dressed up because she's coming home from work. Okay, that's logical. Yeah, me and another writer. Sometimes like they would send writers to watch the rehearsals, and other those would be stuck in the room. And my buddy John Morey, who was a writer on the show, would like send me a text message. She's wearing the corduroys. I gotta go, you guys. I need a joke on stage.
Oh my God.
Her name is Constance Marie.
Yeah.
Insanely beautiful.
Oh.
She was in the movie. She played Salina's mom in the movie Salina, yeah. which you have to say like that.
Salina.
And then she was Mrs.
Beautiful.
George Lopez on the show. Holy, and she used to be a backup dancer for David Bowie.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. Let's dance. Put on your Mexican shoes, and that's about all. Yeah, just up. Oh, my goodness.
I imagine the head writer coming to you saying, Michael, we'd like to talk to you about all these. We wanted you to come up with some stories, but I think it's too early for them to be exploring fantasies. I mean, I don't know. We're still on a network, you know. We're trying to get syndication.
Why are all these scripts about them going to lingerie stores?
Yeah.
Everyone.
I see one more script about her fucking the paper boy. And why is the paper boy in his 40s?
With glasses. What's this about?
He loves her, man. He would leave his wife for her.
The paper boy's married, Michael?
Fuck you guys. I'm going on the road.
Did he just say fire truck?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the best. That's awesome. You know, speaking of the fire truck story, I had a moment recently where
just got very serious for you.
Well, kind of. I thought when I heard this bit that you did about how you like you he talks about in on the special, like, you can tell him, don't tell him how to raise his kids. Like, no matter what the circumstances are, don't tell me how, I'm just curious. I'm a new parent. I mean, you've obviously been at this longer than I have. Like, it blows my mind at what is the rationale behind, like, I had a guy today at the post office. Like, it happened to me twice in 2 days recently. The latest was this guy at the post office. I was sending out a bunch of stuff I sold on eBay. My wife was away at her office, like, doing some stuff with paperwork. So it was just me and my son. I put him in the stroller. I had all the boxes. I didn't look like I was like, oh, I didn't have my hair wasn't out of a bun and frazzled.
Yeah.
Like,
you know what I mean? Like, you had your act together. You're doing it.
I'm not even looking at this asshole. And he comes by and he goes, here's what you got to do. Yeah. You know, that's why we tag team it. And I was like, what? I didn't even know what the fuck he was talking about.
Yeah.
I go, what? He goes, here's what I do. I just leave her in the car with my wife. That's what you got to do, buddy.
Yeah.
And here's the part that made me want to kick this man in the nuts is that he's walking right past my car.
Right.
And I didn't realize this until, because I know I was complaining to Kevin about this earlier, is that he walks right past my car where it's just me and my kid. There's nobody else in the damn car. And I said, and so I try to play it cool where it's like, oh, I'm just flying solo today. And then he's like, oh, he's like, yeah, you got to figure out, you got to work it out, plan your week so that you do this, you do your errands when the other one's around.
Oh my God.
And I'm just like, oh
how did you not knock that guy
it's
out?
It's hard. It's hard. I know that, here's the thing. I know at some point I'm going to say, I know I'm never going to hurt anybody because I'm not physically confident, but I know that sometime I'm going to get pushed to a level of exhaustion and then I'm in the middle of some government building, I'm just going to yell, fuck off!
half. Like, I'm just...
Really? That's like, bad. So when the guy tells you, I know how to live life better than you,
yes.
All you want to do is yell at him?
All I want to do is say, fuck off. I just want to... That's it. I don't have a desire to punch him. Oh, I don't really... Like, I say things like kick him in the nuts, but I honestly do not have that reaction.
I'd want to make him bleed.
I wanted to call a woman at the dog park a cunt the other day because she said...
Of course you did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because she had a vagina. Yeah. She was smiling. Yeah. No, why? Why?
And
why?
She didn't play George Lopez's wife on television. So that means they're all that. That's what I feel like. If you're not...
Amen, bro. If your name is not Constance Marie, I have bad news.
But, like, I don't understand what it... I have no desire as a parent, and I hope I don't. I have no desire as a parent to tell anybody what to do with their kid or anything. If you come to me and you say... Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. Like, what did you guys do? I'll tell you. I will that release the hounds. But I don't sit there. I don't spend any part of my life looking around at the world around me going, how can I tell you how to do what you're doing?
I swear to God.
Yeah.
And then you'll see other parents who are totally wrecking their children for life. And you don't say a word.
I don't.
You know, you just, okay, sorry, kid.
Exactly.
I will see you in the tower with a rifle. That's, you know, 20 years from now when you snap because daddy took you to see fucking Pirates of the Caribbean when you were 3. And now you have squid face issues.
And it's funny, too, because... Like, I saw there was a mom, I wanted to help her because she was by herself and she had 2 kids and one of her kids was having the mother load of all meltdowns, like just screaming because I guess he wanted some good and plenty or something from Staples.
Yeah.
And I was like, he just kept screaming and she was, and I look over and my instinct, I did have this instinct of, I'll just go over there and say, hey, can I take your stuff that she was trying to hold? She had bags of stuff and he was like kicking and screaming at her and stuff. And then I was like, no, because then you're being the person that you hate. And then I was like, no, I want to help her with her stuff. I'm not going to tell her what to do with her kid.
Right.
I'm just being a human.
Yeah.
And then I look over, that's when, in that moment of hesitation, I was looking at her. She was cool as a cucumber.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, this isn't the first time. She's not frazzled like this kid. And I'm like, then I get it. It's like she can't pick the kid up and say, okay, here's some good and plenty. Please just shut up. She's like, if I fight this fight now, then I'll live to fight another day. You know what I mean?
Right,
like, that was the vibe I got.
Have the tantrum, kid.
Yeah,
it's
go for it.
It's not going to change the reality.
Have you had issues with that with your kids? Where they
my kids, they're not angels, but they know. I tell them in the car. You know, I'm like old school.
I love this vibe.
No, seriously.
No, I'm not making fun of you. I had this image of you like just pulling up to anywhere and just like you stop in the car and you give like a coach halftime speech. Like, okay, here's what's going on. We're going in there. We're going in strong. We're going in fast.
I do.
That's the best. We
got to buy a gift for one of their buddies. One of their buddies is having a birthday. We got to get the okay, we're going to go into Toys R Us. What are we doing?
Good for you.
We're buying a present for who? For Roan. Okay. Are you guys getting anything? No. All right. So don't even ask. Boom.
Nice.
And my wife's like, how do you do it? They never go crazy for you. They're always, I tell them, I'm fucking honest.
Is there a huge difference between your parenting style and your wife's? Like,
that's what the whole fire truck joke. My wife cannot take them grocery shopping. They're out of control. They're animals. What are you high? You realize you're the grown-up, right? You realize you're much bigger than they are. You drive the car. You can reach the food.
You can control the food, whether or not they get food. Right. That's in your power.
Yeah, like. It is beyond me. They're really good kids, you know. And my wife, she's not that bad.
No.
She's C+.
But like, it's crazy. People, you know. Here's the other one. This happened recently because now my kids are older. My oldest boy is 8, and the little one is 6. Okay, so we're in the mall. We're buying Christmas gifts, and we go by this guy. He's selling radio control cars, right? In a little kiosk.
Don't
in the
you
mall.
Love those kiosk mall guys? Like coming and driving
guy,
in front
he's
of your
from
kids.
His Israeli guy. So my kids, it's remote control car, and I got 2 boys. They're 6 and 8. Yeah. Do you think they fucking wanted one? I think they did too. But they're being cool. They're just looking, and the guy's like, and drives it right up to their feet, and backs it up, and flips around.
Right.
And the kid, my oldest, is just like, "Whoa, Dad! bad. And then guy comes up. He's like, these are the cars Santa Claus is bringing to you. Santa Claus is bringing two of these cars, one for each. And then looks at me like, huh, Dad, huh? Yeah. How bad did I just screw your night? And I go, he's right. Because this is free car day. And I'm like,
he doesn't know who he's messing with.
Are you fucking high? You pull the shit. You don't know me. And I'm like, he's right. It's free car day. I'd like a red one and a blue one. And he's like, oh, I'm kidding, Dad. I don't know. I don't know. I'm like, no, you don't know.
This isn't my
trying
first
to, some Israeli dude trying to leverage Santa Claus against me.
That's the best.
You don't know.
I think I told this story on the pod, but I love these. I don't know what it is, this influx of outsourcing at malls that they get these people from Israel to come in. I did like
they are highly motivated, brother.
Probably.
They are highly motivated.
Get the hell out of where they are.
I went to Israel last December to do some shows. Uh-huh. It's fantastic. I love what they've done with the place. No, seriously. You literally cross the street from Israel into the Palestinian territories, and you're like, wow, they have not done anything with it. I mean, they could be planting shit and growing things. But yeah, when you look at it could go really bad. I mean, yeah. there's some poverty, you know? And man, you get to the United States, you forget we're so mm-hmm. insulated here. Yeah. This is just how it is, right? We think, oh, it's like this, you know? And I've been fortunate enough to do some traveling. I've been to other countries, and we have it so great here.
Absolutely.
It is insane.
He just came back from India recently.
Yeah,
so,
can't
yeah.
shake my head enough. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
We're the richest nation in the world. I mean,
and opportunities abound.
Everywhere.
I want to smack people upside the head when they were like, the American dream is dead.
Oh,
no,
oh, yeah.
You're not sleeping right, dude.
Right.
Yeah. I've had friends who said that they were, they said, this to me, disregarding politics at all, like, they said that if George Bush was elected to a term, another term, or and then they said it again, if Obama didn't win the election, that they were going to leave.
Yeah.
Because the same people said we're afraid to have children because of the way the country is now.
Oh,
and I was
man.
Like, are you kidding me? Go.
Yeah.
Leave.
Exactly. Get out.
You go even to the place that you think is the nicest place in the world, and I guarantee you, it isn't as good as it is, here.
It is here.
There's going to be differences, and maybe there are things that you're going to be like, well, this is better. But I mean, all
right.
From 360 degrees, like, you know, considering what we are able to do with the amount of taxes that we put into it and all that's like, it doesn't get better than this.
No, I just went on to jury duty this week, and I was sitting next to a dude as they were calling up people, and they asked the room, does anybody here not speak English? If you don't speak English, please come forward. Or if you don't understand enough of what we're saying to be on a juror, please come forward and you will be excused. And this dude leans into me. He was interested in talking to me the entire time. And he's like, I don't understand it, man. I don't understand how you can come to this country and not speak English. I mean, if I'm going to go to France, right, I'm going to learn how to speak French. That's pretty much my reaction.
Yeah.
Like, okay, man, I'm going to go sit somewhere else now.
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
luck with
Good
that attitude.
Luck. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Exactly.
But I swear to God, man. Steve Grove, our friend from Sacramento, now lives down in Cabo. He's experimenting. He's trying to do some comedy down there. He brings me down, and I'm like, I don't want to be that guy, right, that only speaks his language.
Right, yeah.
I'm in their country.
Yeah. Right.
I am in Mexico, and I live here. I've been picking up some, you know, Mexican. I think I could get by. And I had no idea how fast they talk down there.
Oh, right.
I was like, I check in. I'm like, hey, buenos noches. And they're like, sí. And I'm just in vapor lock. I'm sorry.
No, hey, señor. Un poquito.
Americano, poquito, spanelio.
I did that when we went to Cancun for, she won a trip through her job, my wife, Natalie. And I felt like I was having such a good time learning the language from them. Like, we would go to dinner, and I would ask them, like, what do they say? And I'd have them repeat it. I almost think I might have, in, like, retrospect, I might have been doing the opposite, where it's instead of, like, you talk what I need to hear or whatever. I think it came across as mocking because I was enjoying it so much.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, I would say gracias to everything. And, like, oh, what else? There was some other phrase. She doesn't remember. I don't even want to talk to her right now. But the
whoever, like, she is.
I kept saying things. I think bien and stuff like that. Like,
like I knew what I was saying, but sometimes I would use it improperly. And Natalie knows Spanish pretty well. She took it in high school, and she, with her job, she uses it almost all the time. So it's like I look like the total jack off who's like, oh, look, it's like I'm playing a part. You know?
I'm the guy who thinks he knows the language. Gracias.
Well, and I was
gracias. You gotta add
the R. You roll it. I wanted to add that it's like I felt like I was mocking their lesser language because I was like, I don't need to know this. It's just fun for me. You know what I mean? Like, and it's interesting too. You go to McDonald's. I mean, I don't know if it's like this in like say Cabo or something like that, but you go to McDonald's in Cancun and you will get a Mexican person speaking English better than if you go to McDonald's here in the States. You know, like it was a weird shock for me to be like, I'll have a number one, and they would go, okay. Like,
like, not C.
Exactly, Or if you try and say no pickles, they're like,
It is amazing, though, how you can take somebody from, like, a country with you know, poverty, and they're like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I can open up a kiosk in this mall, and I can buy this, I can get these products shipped over from China, so I'm only going to pay 50 cents. I can sell them for as much as I want, and if I sell them, I get to keep the extra. Are you kidding?
Right.
Foreigners must just look at us like we are just the laziest sons of bitches on the planet.
Well, in a way we are. I mean, I think there's a sense of entitlement to what we have. I don't necessarily think it's a huge negative thing. I mean, you work for stuff, I guess, as a people. I don't know. Maybe I'm digging a hole here.
Redneck.
Is that the song?
We just coined it.
That's redneck.
Yeah, Kevin just made it up. Well, I think we're good. We hit our mark. Yeah.
All right.
We hit our mark. Yeah. Michael Loftus, everybody.
Yes. We should do this every week. Look at this.
Speech.
There's bananas and vanilla wafers in the living room. That's like that was like a it's John good. Prine song. There's bananas and vanilla wafers in the living room. And mom keeps making cookies for the guests. Junior's looking at the radio man like he's crazy. Later on, we'll put our heads down for a rest.
Yeah,
that's the first chorus.
How do you? I know that you could find Michael Loftus at myspace.com/MichaelLoftus. It's LOFTUS.
That's right.
You're also on the Twitter, twitter.com/LoftusComedy.
Yeah.
Is there any anything else that you would like to plug or?
Just go to Amazon.com.
Yeah, get Michael Loftus.
Pick up the DVD.
Yes.
And there are Easter eggs in the stand-up that are sneak peeks for the new Hobbit movie, directed by Benicio del Toro.
Oh.
I'm so fucking lying.
I was going to say, how did you know that?
But what an odd thing. It was so crazy. It could have been true.
Very specific. Like, wait, why did you bring this up at the end? I want to know more.
You know what it was? It was your eyes darting around the room, which would you would
like,
think.
Is it cool that I can talk about this?
Like, exactly. That made me think, why? Because all I kept thinking is, why is Benicio del Toro like doing a Hobbit movie, number one? Number two, why is it people?
Right,
he got me. Is, I guess,
why is he looking to see if anybody's listening, talking into a microphone?
You never know. This whole place is wild.
It is.
All right. Thanks again, Michael Loftus.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys, for listening. Okay, bye. In touch with the ground.